listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
You can get your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 10. That's where we're going to be this morning. It's good to see everybody. A lot of the new devices and phones and smartwatches, they have little reminders that you can set for yourself, and it vibrates you and then it tells you to breathe. I think that's interesting. Breathe for a minute. Take big deep breaths. And I think sometimes at this season, we need to do that. We need to stop and breathe. It gets very chaotic and very busy, and I'm sure at least five of you have a shopping list, and you know the things that we've got to do, and you're making your plans. And when we were driving back from Thanksgiving from Tulsa, we spent pretty much the hour and a half walking through our calendars and all the school programs and the places we needed to be in the parties, and those are great. Those are great. And they're times to get together with people and with friends and family and celebrate. But we need to make sure that we are not missing what this season is about. And that is about Jesus Christ coming in the most humblest of circumstances, coming to save us, coming to grow and then walk and journey to the cross. And He willingly did that. And we praise Him for that. We sing these songs because of what He did for us. We praise Him. We gather together with family, and it's not for praising and lifting high Santa or Frosty. It's to lift up Jesus. And there's great traditions involved in these holidays, but let us not forget Christ coming for us, the greatest gift, the greatest gift. And so that's what Advent is really about. It's about preparation. It's about expecting. It's about looking forward to celebrating Christ coming, looking forward to the day that we get to. And it's not the exact day in the calendar of history. It's just a day. It's a time set aside to thank God for sending His Son Jesus. And so Advent prepares us. And so that's what we're doing as a church. And we are in our second week of our Advent series. And we are expectantly waiting and getting ready for the celebration of Christ coming as a baby, which He's already come. He's already come, and He's already journeyed to the cross, and He's already defeated death, and He's already risen from the grave. And we are, as believers, we are waiting for Him to come again. And I hope that you and your family are using this time to focus your hearts on why Christ came. And so this year in our Advent time, our Advent series, we're looking at four of the I am statements that Jesus made for Himself. Statements that He spoke about who He is, who He is, and His claims. And in these statements, what we're seeing and learning is more about who Jesus is, but also what these statements mean for His followers. Last week, what was the statement? Anyone? I am the light of the world. Last week, we looked at the statement that Jesus made, and He made this, which was so awesome and cool and interesting that He made it during the Feast of the Illumination. He was there as they were celebrating during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Christ said in the midst of His people, in the midst of the Pharisees, in the midst of the religious leaders, and in the midst of the Jews, He said, I am the light of the world. And in this claim, He was stating that He is God. And so as the Jews were celebrating the pillar of fire that led them out of Egypt, He was saying, I am that light. I was there, and I am here. I am God. I am your light. I will light your path. I will guide you in this dark world, and if you will follow Me, you will never, ever walk in darkness. Isn't that great news? Isn't that great news that if you're a believer in Jesus, you're a follower of Christ, you will never, ever walk in darkness? So if you are a believer and you are stumbling around, it might be time to look at the light that you believe in, because he promises you will never walk in darkness. And maybe that darkness in your life is because of sin. Sin that's not been repented of. Maybe that's an addiction. Maybe that's an attitude. Maybe that's because you're not connecting with Christ and his word. And so you're stagnant, and you're that person that Paul is talking about in Ephesians, that you're being tossed to and fro because you're not growing in Christ. But Christ promises for believers, his followers, he is the light. He will light your path and you will never walk in darkness. He also says that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the light will shine through you. That's fruit. People say, well, how do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that my family member is a Christian or my coworker is a Christian? You should see Jesus shining through. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's Christ in us. You should see that light. And granted, there are some of us that we are walking around kind of hiding our lights because maybe we're embarrassed, or maybe that we are not growing in Christ like we just talked about, or maybe there's sin that's covering that up. Is Christ shining through you? If you say, Chris, yes, I remember a time that I responded to the gospel, that the Holy Spirit was calling me, that Christ was calling me to him, and I responded in that faith that he gives me. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Do people know that you're a believer? Because if you are, your light should be shining through, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you're following me, you'll never walk in darkness, and my light will be in you. I hope the light of Christ is being seen in you by your spouse or by your children or by your parents if you're a child, or your school friends that you go to school with, or the people that you hang out with, those coworkers that you see at lunch or the copier machine or wherever, the people that you hang out with. I hope that when they see you, they see something different because of Jesus inside of you. Because I promise you, the greatest gift you give anyone this season will be the gift of the gospel. It will far exceed anything that you buy off of Amazon. It will far exceed any of the greatest smelling candle that you give to somebody. It's the gospel. It's Jesus. Will you allow Christ to shine through you? Because if you're a believer, he will. And so, as we already know, that if you were listening during the lighting of this second candle, that our second statement, our second I am statement, is that Christ is the good shepherd. So this morning we're going to look at Christ as the good shepherd. If you have your Bibles and you've opened them to John chapter 10, we're going to be looking at around 18 verses. Now last week we looked at one verse, so it's going to be the same amount of time today, so don't worry. But we're going to look at this entire passage and kind of look at the different pieces of it. But the kind of the focal verse, verse 11, which says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So we're going to look at what does this statement mean? And obviously Jesus made this statement to the people that were with him. And they understood shepherding, although they weren't catching what he was saying spiritually. But you can see why he was making it in this way, because he is saying, I am the good shepherd. So in order for us to understand this statement, we need to understand sheep and shepherding a little bit also. Now, not 21st century sheep, but first century sheep. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. If you know me, I'm not much of an animal guy, okay? Now, please don't walk out. Don't judge me. I mean, animal lovers, they're like, oh, gosh, how could you dare say that? I get that. I don't hate animals. I believe they're God's creation. And, you know, we can have discussions about whether animals are going to be in heaven or not. That's something we could talk about. I'm fine with it. Seriously, I just didn't grow up with a lot of pets. We had outdoor cats. We didn't have an indoor dog. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just me. So I'm definitely not an expert on animals. We had four hamsters. We have two now. We're down to two, but anyway, I do know this though, researching sheep, they're not the smartest animals in the animal kingdom, okay? Wow, that's really close up. I didn't see the stuff coming out of his nose there. Here's what I learned about sheep. They can be timid. They can be stubborn. They can then be easily frightened. And there's absolutely no way they can defend themselves. I read some funny stories about if sheep get turned over on their side and they can't get up, and then they turn over completely and they have to have the shepherd come and roll them over, or they're just stuck there. They're just stuck there laying upside down. They are the animal that takes the most work. And guess what? After hearing all of that, guess what? All throughout Scripture, in all its beautiful, rich imagery, it portrays us as sheep. Timid, stubborn, easily frightened, can't defend ourselves. When we fall, we have a hard time getting up. Listen to some of this Scripture and write these down if you're taking notes. Psalm 103 says this: "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Isaiah 53:6, the first part of that verse says this: "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." The Bible portrays us as sheep. And here is Christ standing in the midst and saying, "I am the good shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd." And so as we think about Christ as a shepherd, we need to understand also what's this idea of shepherding? What is the role of the shepherd, especially in the first century? First of all, shepherding in the first century was very intimate. It was very, very intimate. The shepherd had a very close relationship with his sheep. The shepherd didn't drive sheep. They went before the herd. That was different than what we think about animals and large groups of animals today. We think about just herding them into some place and some factory and then taking what they need, or taking the wool, taking the meat, whatever it is. But for shepherding in the first century, they went before their sheep. They led the sheep. It was very intimate. Second, the sheep of that time were used mainly for their wool. So they didn't just use it for food, they used it for their wool, which means that a shepherd might have the same sheep for years and years. In fact, giving them names as he protected them and drove them and led them. And the sheep needed their shepherd 24 hours a day. So keep these things in mind as we think about Christ saying, "I am the good shepherd." And think about that as we think about the Bible many times talking about us as sheep. And this is why this image of us as sheep and Christ as our shepherd is so powerful. And I hope that you're seeing that this morning. And I hope that you understand that this message is encouragement for you. I hope that you walk out of here this morning with encouragement from God's word. Encouragement from Christ being your good shepherd. Because this is what it means. It means this: Christ loves us. He's talking about shepherding, and a shepherd who is intimate with his sheep, who leads their sheep, who takes care of their sheep, who calls them out by name, who walks through them, who protects them. And he's saying, "I am the good shepherd." This means this for all of us in this room: Christ loves you. Christ loves you. Christ has compassion for you. He said this just right in this chapter before chapter 10. He said in Matthew 9:36, it said, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Isn't that beautiful? Christ has compassion for you. Some of us think that we are so bad, or we're so filthy that Christ could never save us, or maybe that we're believers that have been far away from God, and we're like the prodigal son wallowing in the muck, and we're thinking, Christ could never love me again. Christ loves you. He has compassion for you. He looks at us and says, "They're harassed and they're helpless. They're like a sheep without a shepherd." And then he says the next chapter, "I am the good shepherd. I love you." The people caught this imagery of shepherding, but they didn't understand what it meant, the implications of Jesus' statement. But we need this too. We need to hear this too. Many people, believers, non-believers of our time, are harassed and helpless. We're downcast. We are in need of a good shepherd. And Christ is our good and beautiful shepherd. And Christ desires to be your shepherd this morning. So here's what we're going to see in these 18 verses as we kind of plow through this. It says that Christ is our good shepherd. So what do we see? First of all, we're going to see his relationship to the sheep. Second, we're going to see how he provides for his sheep. And then we're also going to see his love for his sheep. So first of all, look in verse 1. Verses 1 through 6. What we see as Christ is claiming and saying about himself, I am the good shepherd. He is saying this, that the good shepherd has a relationship with his sheep. He has an actual relationship with those that he's leading. Look at verse 1, and let's read verses 1 through 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. He's talking about Satan here. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And it says this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So the first truth that we see right here in these verses is the truth that Christ, the shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows us. And guess what? The sheep know him. We're not talking about a religion here, okay? I really kind of get frustrated with the phrase, oh, I'm a real religious person. I don't even like that. Because Christ is not about a religion. It's not about coming to a place and walking in and checking off a bunch of checklists and then going, okay, I'm good enough, and then and trying to claw your way to heaven. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Christ is saying, I desire a relationship with you, an intimate relationship with you, because I am your shepherd. You are my sheep. You need me. And what Christ is saying here is that the shepherd knows his sheep. In fact, he knows them by name. And here's what we got to understand. When they would bring their sheep into a town or a village, they would bring them to this communal corral. And a lot of times this kind of corral, and I have a picture of one that they found, that a lot of times the walls would be very tall, very different from out in the countryside. The walls, and we'll see one of those in just a minute. But they would bring the, and they would have the walls, and they would be high, and there would be a professional gatekeeper at that gate. So you would bring all your sheep in. There would be sheep from all different shepherds, and they would come in at night, and they would let them come in there, and a professional gatekeeper would protect them. And so when it was your time to go pick up your sheep, now for me, in my lack of knowledge of sheep and animals in general, I would think, how in the world would you distinguish your sheep from me? They all look the same to me. But what would happen is that shepherd would come back to the corral, the gatekeeper would know that shepherd, and that shepherd would begin walking along the walls talking to his sheep, calling them by name, and the sheep would know his voice. The sheep would know his voice, and he would lead his sheep out because they knew his voice. If a stranger tried to come in, they wouldn't know it. They wouldn't go with them. It would be a stranger. They would be fearful. The sheep know their shepherd's voice. Verse 3 says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You want to hear some encouragement this morning? Every single one of us, Christ knows you. He knows you, not just that one guy over there, that one person. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. He created you. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. And he knows you by name, and he knows who you are. He knows everything about you. skip down to verse 14 and 15, and we'll get there again. But listen to what it says. It says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. This statement right here is huge. Okay, try to catch this. Catch this morning. Is Jesus knows you, and he knows me just as well as he knows his Father. That is huge. Because when we talk about religion with people, a lot of times there's just this gap, and we think that God is just the big man upstairs sitting over there way out in the universe. That is not the relationship that we have with our Father if you know Jesus. If you know Christ, he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows you as well as he knows the Father. Isn't that huge? That you sitting right here, Christ knows you as well as he knows the Father. We get to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the God of the universe because of Jesus. Did you know that his knowledge of you goes way beyond birth? Listen to this passage in Psalm 139, 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Do you see God's sovereignty here? Do you see how much he loves you, that he created you, that he chose you? Christ, our good shepherd, Christ, our love, he loves us. You are not far away from him. He is calling to you. He said, I am your good shepherd. I will lead you. I have desire to have a relationship with you. And I have provided that way because of what he's done on the cross. That his blood covers our sins, that he defeated death, he rose from the grave, and because of that, we get to have an intimate relationship with him, and so we praise him, don't we, for that. He knows your past. He knows everything. He knows all of your failures. He knows your victories. He knows what's happening right now in your lives, and you can put on a great face. You can put on a great face. You could cover yourself with Christian clothing if you wanted to. I mean, you can go to Mardell and buy Christian brands of clothing. You can blast K-Love or Air One or Christian CDs from your car. You can pull up to this parking lot and have spray painted I Love Jesus all over your minivan or whatever you want to do. But you know what? You can hide from everybody else, but Christ knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what sin you're struggling with. He knows what your marriage is like. He knows what the struggles you're having as you raise your children. He knows what's happening at your workplace. He knows what you're hiding in the darkest corners of who you are. He knows everything. You can't hide from him. And he's saying, I love you. I want to be your shepherd. I have cleaned you on the cross. And I desire that you follow me, that you chase after me, that you desire to be more like me. I will lead you. And so my question this morning is this. Do you know, first of all, do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know him? And if you are a believer, then you do know your Good Shepherd. And he loves you. Second, as we move to verses 7 through 10, not only do we see that Christ has a relationship with his sheep, which is us, which is his followers, but Christ, the good shepherd, also has provision for his sheep. Look at verse 7 through 10. Let's read those. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. This is awesome. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not only does Christ truly know his sheep, but he also provides for his sheep. as I was researching shepherding, as I was researching what it was like to be a first century shepherd, I found an interview with a shepherd, not from the first century, but someone who had traveled over to the Middle East and talked to a true shepherd, and he did an interview with him, and he was talking to him. This guy was not a Christian. But listen to what he says as he explains the door. He says, the sheep would go into the sheepfold at night. It had four walls, and this would be more like out in a village. Do I have a picture? Yeah, there's one. It would have four walls, but it would not have a door. So we think in modern day, get the animals inside and shut the door so we can go watch TV, right? Well, I don't know if that's true. That's what I do with my hamsters. Sit in the door, tap on them, make sure they're alive, way out, give them something to spin around on. But we walk away. So do my kids. I want a hamster. Then we walk away, don't we? Anyway, I'm going back to that. I'm so sorry. Back then, the shepherds would as they were out in the village, out in the pasture, they would bring them in the sheepfold at night, which didn't have a door. It didn't even have very high walls, and they would put them in there. And listen to what this shepherd was saying. He said, this shepherd in the interview said, I am the door for them. This is not a Christian. It's so awesome how Christ was saying these things. He says, I am the door. And he simply said, when the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space and no sheep ever goes out across my body. And no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body because I am the door. Isn't that amazing? This is exactly what Christ is saying here. He's saying, I am the door for the sheep. I am the only way to salvation. If you want to be saved, if you don't want to be destroyed by Satan, who hates you, he hates you. Man, Satan looks good sometimes, doesn't he? Man, sin looks good sometimes. Boy, it sure feels good for a little while, doesn't it? He hates you. He wants to destroy you. And here is Jesus Christ who died for you. And he's saying, guys, I lay across this door. I am the door. If you want salvation, you have to come through me. But not only do I provide salvation for you, not only do I not let Satan come through, the wolf come through, because if you're a believer, he's coming through me. He's not ever getting to you. You can be secure in your salvation in Jesus Christ because Christ is lying at the door and Satan will never come in. But not only will he never come in and he protects you, but he also provides you. If you want provision, you've got to go out across him also. You cross over him for provision. And he says, not only provision, but life abundant. Life abundant. That's peace. That's joy. Nowhere in the scripture does it say, and if you go across me, then you'll have all the riches in the world. He doesn't say that. He says, I'll give you life. God is not a vending machine that we just like, I want this with this. No, he's saying, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you joy here, even in this broken world. I'll give you peace. I'll give you eternal salvation. You go across me and I will give you life. What a beautiful picture of our beautiful shepherd, Christ, our protector and provider. He provides and he is and has a beautiful relationship with us, but he also is our provider and our protector. He knows what is best for you. Will you trust him with your life? As you pray, God, help me, guide me as you are my shepherd. Help me to be your follower. You need to trust him. Maybe you're praying for something right now and it's not coming to pass because he knows what's best for you, right? Will you trust him with your life? Will you say, your will be done. Here are my desires. Here are the things that I'm looking for. Here are the things I would love to do or to have or to be like. And he says, trust me. I am your door. You cross over me. I know what's best for you. I am your good shepherd. And then third, as we close out this chapter, or this passage, Christ says that he has an amazing love for his sheep. Look at starting in verse 11. He says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and then he leaves. And he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, we see the love of Christ here. Christ has a relationship with us as the good shepherd. He also provides and protects, but he also has the most amazing love for his sheep. He has compassion. He has deep compassion. He ached for us who were scattered and cast down. And Christ's love is the kind of love that would lay down his life for us. And if you were to read all the way to verse 18, you would see that Christ actually states four different times that he would lay down his life for us. Four times, just right here. And guess what? He did. He did. He didn't just say something like, oh, I'd lay my life down, and then I'm going to get out of here. I mean, that's how we are, right? Oh, yeah, I'll do that for you, unless something better comes up. Or unless something gets really hard. No, Christ said, I love you. I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for you. He said it four times, and then we would see that he would, and he did. He willingly did. This little baby that we celebrate, and you might have multiple little babies in your, multiple little baby Jesuses in your home as you celebrate, and they're, maybe you've lost one, I don't know, in some nativity scenes. But these little babies that we celebrate, who it really is Christ in the flesh. It was God in the flesh, and he stepped out of glory, and he came to the most humblest places, the most humblest of circumstances, and he spent his entire life on a path to his death on the cross. In the most incredible act of love, he laid down his life, guess what, for you and for me, for your family member, for your coworker. For the person on Facebook that you just can't stand, and all the stuff they say, he laid down his life for that person. He loves them. He loves us. He didn't just do it for the Jews either. Look at verse 16. This is awesome. He's talking about you right here. He says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Isn't that awesome? He's talking about us. Gentiles. He was talking about us before he even went to the cross. He laid down his life for all of us. John 3:16, you want to say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He loves us. He is the good shepherd. This is the heart of the good shepherd, a shepherd that would lay in the door, and nobody's going to come in and hurt his sheep because he lays in the door. If a wolf is going to try to hurt, he's going to come past the shepherd. He loves us. This is the love of the good shepherd. And when you look at the translation of Greek, the word good actually means beautiful. It can mean beautiful. Christ is the beautiful shepherd. Now this beauty, again, here we are with our modern language. You're like, oh, that's really pretty. No, it goes way beyond pretty. This word is not used in a feminine way. It is divine beauty. It is holiness. It is divine love, a love that laid down his life for us. Christ, the good shepherd. Christ, the beautiful shepherd. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing to him. That's why we live our lives for him. That's why we trust him with our lives. That's why we repent of our sin, because we're so saddened by the filth in our lives, and we love our good shepherd, Jesus. And that's why we trust him when we pray to him and say, Lord, not your will, but just work in my life, because you know what's best. You're laying in the door. And if I want exactly what's best for my life or my family's life, I've got to cross over you and trust you with my life, because you promised me abundant life. Christ is beautiful. There was a chorus a few years ago that many of us sang, and it was called Here I Am to Worship. And listen to some of these words. It says, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes. let me see. Look at that word there. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely because you are beautiful. You're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Christ, the beautiful, most perfect, most holy shepherd, the good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Do you know Jesus? Because he loves you. If you walk out of here today, at least you'll remember and you'll step into your car and you're going to hear that Jesus loves you. No matter where you are, he loves you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He made you. He is your protector and provider. He desires a relationship with you. And he loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. Doesn't that just make all the other stuff in this season seem a little bit trivial? Doesn't it? Kind of makes Rudolph, Frosty, that's just fun little things. We worship the God who laid down his life for us, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.